So his king had a party in the story. He had a wedding banquet for his son. And in our society, and in most societies, I think everybody would just be thrilled to get an invitation, wouldn't they? Everything would just get pushed aside. I'm going to Will and Kate's wedding. Woohoo! Or going off to see Mary and Frederick get married in Denmark. But weddings are always a big event. And for some reason in this story, everybody refused to come. All of the invited guests refused to come. And in fact, as I mentioned when I was reading that passage, Jesus says some of them even killed the servants. I don't get that, but it was obviously a reference. That's the word I'm looking for. A reference to the way that the Jewish leaders had in the past killed the prophets and would soon kill Jesus himself. Weddings are a time of celebration. And wedding feast is just full of joy and fun and happiness. I've never been to a wedding where everybody was grumpy. Because they contain hope about the future as well as a celebration of the love of the people that are there. There's lots of food and drink. So even if you don't enjoy the ceremony, at least you get to have, a couple of glasses of wine and some fruit on a stick, apparently. That's fantastic. And if you look at carefully through the New Testament, indeed through the old parts of the Old Testament as well, you find that over and over and over again, God describes himself as a husband or a groom, and he describes us, his people, as the bride. And heaven is often described as a wedding feast, the coming together of people and God. And again, God's kingdom is a thing of great joy and expectation of the future and all those things that weddings represent. Now, these guys in the story, they came up with some pretty lame excuses, didn't they? The play picked up some of the excuses in Luke's version of that parable that talks about, I've just got married, can't come. Well, bring your wife, why not? I've just bought some land. Hold on, shouldn't you have checked your land before you bought it, not after you've bought it? Got to take me oxen for a test drive. Surely that can wait till next week. The excuses are just so lame and inconsequential. You've just got to ask yourself, what is wrong with these people? Although some of us that have been to weddings and been participants in weddings might recognise some. Margaret and I had a really good friend in our high school years, youth group, and he said he couldn't come to our wedding because he had to play soccer that morning. He sort of went down a few levels on our friends' ranking. Because, I can't let the team down. Well, what about Team Keith and Margaret? Quite happy to let them down. You call us your friends. And somebody else, when we gave her the invitation, she said, wild horses couldn't keep me away. Well, wild horses couldn't, but she got sick on the day and she didn't get there. So that was a valid excuse, I guess. But in real life, God is offering all of us an invitation. And people just put him off with the lamest of excuses. I'll get around to following God when I'm older, when the kids have grown up. If I became a Christian, he might want me to go to deepest, darkest Africa or wherever. Although you're happy to go as a tourist, I note. I'll do something with God when the kids are off my hands. Whatever. And they're just lame excuses to cover a heart that's cold towards God. But here's the exciting thing. The point about this story is that God's grace, God's love for us is almost limitless. Like, at the time that Jesus was telling that story, and the people that he was telling it to were the religious leaders in Israel. And what he's saying is, look, you guys, the invitation's been there for you for centuries, and you're not responding. You're just going through the outward appearances and, running your temple and doing your sacrifice bit, but your heart's still cold towards me. And so God in the story just opens the invitation wide until he sees there's enough people. So he starts off with the, you know, the people walking around town, and then he sends his servants further and further to get as many people as possible into his wedding feast. And that's been God's intention from the beginning. He wants everybody to be a part of his feast. But as the end of the story makes clear, not everybody gets in. In the story, you see somebody that's not wearing the right clothes. And the clothes in the story, and often in Scripture, represent the righteousness and holiness that come from following Jesus. The fact that our old clothes, our old nature, has been taken away by Jesus and nailed to the cross with him, I guess. And so God's invitation is open to everybody, the poor and the rich and the inner city dwellers and the suburban people and the country people and the farmers and the teachers even. Everyone can come in. But there's one way in, and that's through responding to the invitation of Jesus, letting him take away your old nature and put on a new nature. And that invitation's open to each one of us. And if you've never, ever, ever asked Jesus to take away your sins, you need to do that and respond to that invitation that he's offering each one of us today. I wrote down here, you were made for this. Every one of us was made for a relationship with God. Every one of us was made for this exciting journey of faith. And the question is, will you respond to that calling? Father, I just thank you that your invitation to be in your kingdom is open to everyone. And Lord, you've used that analogy of a big feast. And not everyone responds positively to your invitation. But Lord, we want to today. We want to be a part of that celebration. And so, Lord, I just pray that anybody that hasn't already said yes to you, Lord, I pray that today will be the day when they say, yes, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and receive you. And the rest of us, Lord, I pray that you will help us to walk with you, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day. Lord, may your grace, your love, and your rightness invade every part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish with a song, and the song is Never Going to Stop Singing. Now, I was going to mention this earlier, but I'll mention it now. In this song, we're actually making a statement that we're never going to stop praising God. And so when you go home and your neighbour's throwing dog poo over your fence, or you know, or your kids are a bit ratty, or you go to work tomorrow and the boss is a bit ratty, or if you're the boss, the employee's a bit ratty, just remember what we've said today has to continue on. We're never going to stop singing. We're never going to stop praising God, because this wedding feast, this feast of God, just keeps on going every day for the rest of your life and beyond.